All right, welcome in to Locked On Knicks. Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero, which is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play. I'm Alex Wolf. I'm editor-in-chief of Knicks site The Strickland, which you can find at thestrick.land. He is Gavin Shaw, play-by-play man by day, Knicks podcaster by night, and this, of course, is our second part of our locker room chat with you all for this week. So I won't hold this up any longer. Here is the second part of our locker room discussion.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
All right, appreciate it, David. All right, we're going to send David down and bring up, guy's been a great contributor for us the last few weeks, Jason Meredith. Jason, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
And what do you want to get into today? I just want to talk. I mean, I guess the next thing coming up for the Knicks is the NBA draft. But and I'm a big draft guy, but I've struggled with like getting into the draft as a Knicks fan this year because I don't know where they're going to pick. I don't know how many players they're going to pick. I don't know what kind of player they're going to look for. What do you guys think? Are you guys struggling the same way I am?
Well, so
to get excited for it, at least.
I'm fine. I'm stuck. I mean, if it wasn't, I don't know if you're here when we first started, but I went on for 15 minutes about various draft guys.
So, man,
I'm fine. No, it's fine. I mean, I'll say it again because this is more strategy based. You're talking about. I'm starting to get excited for it. I mean, it helps that I run a Knicks website where I have a lot of people that are very excited about the draft and are writing stuff about it currently that's going to start rolling out soon. So I'm getting kind of, thrown into the fire in that way. I would say I'm starting to get excited. I'm also, so to answer your thought about how many players are they going to draft? I think based off this past draft, I can say with confidence, I would be extremely surprised if they used all four of their draft picks on guys for next year's roster. I see no world where they're going to roster four rookies next year.
I don't see them drafting more than one player that they plan on rostering next year because I kind of look at Luka Vildoza as like almost like a draft pick essentially.
I think they view him like a vet because he is. I think that they view him. I mean, I think they're thinking that he's going to be a guy that's going to come in and contribute pretty much right away and should, based off pedigree from overseas, be able to sort of like crack Tibbs's crusty exterior and kind of get minutes right away.
He's Argentinian, man. Those guys, they play hard and Tibbs will love that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I think I do kind of agree with you that it's almost like found money as far as like a new guy for next year. There's actually pretty highly touted like by NBA, pro scouts apparently, like, he was on the radar big time to come to the NBA this coming offseason, and then the Knicks kind of jumped the gun and were like, oh, well, we'll sign you right now, and we'll give you
actually – Yeah, I watched a bit of him. He's good. I mean, I watched last year in the summer, there was a period where, there was no basketball on, and the only basketball was, the ACB, and I had a channel that showed it. So I actually watched a decent amount of the Spanish League last year in the summer before the bubble started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I mean, what I would say about him is – and this might just be a Euro thing. He doesn't show it as much as you would want because he's like such a team player. Like you don't see him take over games, which I mean, he's kind of like, he's always like looking to make the right play, but he could take over games if he wanted to, but he just doesn't really do it.
Yeah. I get sort of like a mix of like Ginobili and Prigioni vibes from him, not to like pigeonhole him just in the Argentinian. Comp,
yeah. I think you're pigeonholed him because of the Argentinian thing. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see Ginobili when he was in Europe, so I can't really say. But
yeah,
he does. I don't think he's similar to Campazzo, but he's not like he's not the pest that Campazzo is. Like, he does do, like, he gets steals and he hustles, but not like Campazzo. I mean, Campazzo every 2 seconds is in the guy's jersey.
Yeah, but Campazzo's got the little man complex, I guess. But
yeah, he's got, I mean, he's got a little bit of that, though. He does, like, hustle and gets a lot of steals. But what I would say is this. So, like, this draft, like, one of the things I love about this draft is that I love, like, all of the, like, the point guards that are not, like, high, like not Sharif Cooper. I love Sharif Cooper, too, but I'm not, he's not in the same class. What I'm saying is, like, the Jared Butler, the Miles McBride. I actually put Davion Mitchell there, even though he's rated way higher. I think he's rated way too high right now. I think he should
Bones Highland, too, in that category.
Bones Highland. I like all those guys, but I'm like, if we're going to put Vildoza into the lineup, I'm like, and you got Quickly, where are those guys going to ever play? And I'm always one for just drafting BPA, but it's like, now that we have Tibbs, we kind of know his thing. So unless they really love like a Sharif Cooper, and I don't see them drafting a point guard or really a small guard, period.
Yeah, I mean, they're in kind of a good spot where a lot of their positions are pretty, I wouldn't say established, but the Knicks at least have depth. I wouldn't be surprised if, so I was going to say in regards to how many picks I expect them to maybe make 2 picks in this draft. My guess would be like try to trade 19 and 21 to move up into like the lottery and hold on to 32 if they can. And they would take 2 players that way. And then with that last pick, it would be like a draft and stasher, just like essentially like a draft rights kind of player.
Yeah, or a two-way guy. But yeah, a draft and stasher, or like someone you plan on putting on a two-way that you might never actually come up. You never know.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that would probably be how they would play it out. If they do wind up making 2 picks, I mean, I think maybe they could go for a nominal point guard with one of those, if that's the case. Because if you look at the surefire depth at that spot, I mean, I don't know if Vildoza would for sure be looked at as a pure point guard. I think he's kind of like a combo. I think it's pretty clear that they, at least at this stage, view Quickly kind of in the same way, where, you know, he never really played too much this past year without another guard another with him, you know, without another heavy ball handling guard. So I don't know if they necessarily view him that way. So I don't think they would let that stop them if the plan is essentially like there's nobody coming in free agency. We're not trading for anybody. We're re-signing Derrick Rose. We're letting Alfred Payton.
But I actually don't. I think they will try to sign somebody in free agency. That's the other part about this that we haven't chatted about. This is all the reasons why I'm not as – I mean, usually I'm super pumped for the draft. And I this draft is insanely good. So I should be – but I'm just saying as a Knicks fan, it's like I don't even know who to look at. Like, who should I even be focusing on? Because I have no idea. Like, I don't know. I usually have an idea of, like, 5 guys to look at.
I'll jump in real quick. I would be shocked if they take more than 2 guys in this draft. And I think only 1 in the first round. Like, if they don't package – their first and Dallas's first, it would be really, really surprising to me. They've made it or alternatively trade both of them for someone currently in the league, but they've made it so abundantly clear that their priority is like to compete ASAP and to add talent ASAP. They're not about development right now. I mean, they're about developing the guys that are currently on the roster, but I don't think they're really about like a long-term rebuild, right? Or even taking a step back next year to potentially take a step forward in a year. They're all about maintaining this forward momentum. And to me, that translates to let's find 1 guy in the 8 to 15 range that we're in love with, that we think can definitively make our team better, whether it's Wagner, whether it's Giddey, whether it's Kispert, whether it's Keon Johnson, whether it's Davion Mitchell, whether it's Scotty Barnes, whether it's Book Knight. They're going to find that 1 guy and they're going to go all in on him. And I would be really, really surprised if you see them take 2, because I just don't think they're going to have space in the rotation to play 2 rookies next year.
I agree completely.
The redshirt season for any of these guys, which is a bummer because again, like that's what you're going to get if you go the Sharif Cooper, Zaire Williams, BJ Boston direction. I think it's going.
I disagree with you. I think Zaire Williams can actually contribute pretty quickly.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, maybe that's true. I think he has.
Just because he can defend, and I think he can shoot. I mean, I know he shot pretty bad last year.
I just think he has to change his body, which, you know, maybe over the course of an offseason he could do. But we, my point being, I just think they're going to find 1 guy that they think can contribute right away and they're going to go after him. And I would be surprised if they did anything else. But Jason, any final thoughts on all that?
All right, we're going to take our first break. Just a reminder, this episode is brought to you by Stat Hero. Do you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Now we're introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes. Winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. I know when the whole, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel craze came around, even other off-spin ones of those, I tried them all, and, you know, I found that I was losing a bunch too. And it's very hard. You have all these pros that essentially learn how to game the system. They play tons of different lineups so that they can collect, you know, in multiple different ways. And it becomes not fun. It's very hard to find yourself a winner with those other daily fantasy products. That's where Stat Hero comes in. You're in total control. Stat Hero is daily fantasy sports the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free. And right now, you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Again, stathero.com/lockedon. And today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar, which maybe once you win all that money on Stat Hero, you'll go buy yourself some boxes of Built Bars because it is the best tasting protein bar ever. It comes with 9 delicious flavors plus the occasional limited time flavor. I'm sure you know the flavors already, but let me tell you again, they're coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate and salted caramel. Sorry. And you already know my favorite is coconut almond. It's so good. It tastes just like an Almond Joy. It's got little chunks of almond right in it. Super delicious. Tastes just like a candy bar. But luckily, you don't have to feel guilty like a candy bar because Built Bars are good for you. They have 17 grams of protein in them, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. You're not going to find a better ratio with any other bar than that one, particularly not any of those ones full of fillers that don't even give you any benefits. So if you want to go get some for yourself, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15. And you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. All right. Without further ado, back to our locker room discussion with all of you.
No, I just wanted to chat about it because, you know, it's like I said, it's something I usually love to do. And I'm just like, it's hard for me to like watch any film and just be like excited as a Knicks fan. I can watch film as just a regular draft person. But as a Knicks fan, it's like, this guy's good, but are we going to draft him? I don't know.
It's just kind of a weird position to be in, right? I think since the Tim Hardaway draft, it was probably the last time that the Knicks had a pick in this general vicinity.
Well, it's the fact that we have 2 picks is what really throws it off because it's like, well, we can move up, you know, whereas like normally we really wouldn't do that. I don't think they're going to move up. I don't think they're going to move up. And if you are, I don't know if you read John McRae's newsletter, but I think one of the guys they really like is going to fall to 19. And that's why I don't think it's worth moving up. But unless they really love like Wagner, who I do, but I don't know if they will. I think they're going to ship one of these picks. They're going to trade it for like a future first. So that way they could keep like the draft picks there for a trade in the future. That's my prediction.
Yeah. That's possible too. I think it's a world of possibilities. I guess my suggestion would be instead of looking at it as like too many options, just look at it as a world of possibilities.
I am looking at it. I mean, look, I'll get excited when the draft actually comes around. I'm just saying the pre-draft stuff, I can't get too excited about.
it's hard to prepare for is the main thing, because you just have no idea, you know, if they're going to trade up. Like, I almost wonder if they're going to do the same thing they did last year and try to find a trade partner prior to draft night.
Yeah.
And just say, we have three guys that we feel relatively confident at least one of them will be there at, like, pick 12 or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I could see them moving up, like, maybe trading 32 and moving up two or three spots and then just staying there.
Yeah, they could do that, too.
You know what? I could see them – I mean, hey, they really liked Tyrese Maxey last year. I don't think Philly's trying to trade him, but I bet you they'll offer a first for Philly to trade him.
Yeah, I can maybe see that, too. Maybe go after Maxey or someone in that mold. I guess we'll see. It would be interesting. I mean, I'd be interested to see if Philly would even do that, because I don't think they would.
He's been
good. Yeah, I thought he had some pretty good flashes. Like, I think he proved he was better than his draft spot this year.
He was
at least has the potential to be.
I had him in my top 14 last year. Mm-hmm. I would have put it this way. I would have been fine with the Knicks drafting him at 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a case for it. I know a few guys, too, that had said the same thing. Like, it would be an overdraft, but, they liked him well enough there.
Well, that last draft, I mean, yeah, it might have been an overdraft, but all those guys were kind of in the same tier.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're seeing that now. I mean, you have some guys that were, like you said, Maxey's like, he's just as good as, like, Devin Vassell, and at least for now. I mean, maybe in the future these guys will be better, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. But Jason, before we move on to the next person, you want to promote your social media or anything before we send you down?
Nah, I mean, I'm just I think Jason Meredith on Twitter. I tweet about the next season.
That sounds about right.
Bye, guys.
All right, thanks.
All right, see you, Jason. All right, yeah, we got one more speaker request, Alex. It is from never mind, he left. It was Brandon wanted to speak, but I guess he dipped. All right. If anyone else wants to speak, if not, we could just finish up going into some of the stuff going on in the chat. I see a friend of the show. Oh, here we go. Nicholas Punto, I should say, who, full transparency, is one of my best friends, younger brother. He only has one aspiring draft Nick. Nico, what's up, man? What do you want to talk about?
I think that we were overlooking too much the fact that the Knicks might end up using both of their picks this year. If a guy like Gibson, he takes a smaller role, obviously Mitchell Robinson stays, but, you know, if we let Nerlens Noel walk, that leaves a big space for a big. Payton probably won't be on this team next year. Reggie Bullock might not get re-signed. Frank Ntilikina isn't going to get any minutes, and it's definitely not going to get re-signed. If he wants to keep Rose off the bench, or if he starts him, there's going to be like openings at the two or the one in bench minutes, and I definitely think we'll see him use both picks in the first round this year.
I think my only pushback is that. So what do you think they do with pick 32 then?
All right, let's quickly take our second break and tell people about Lucy. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now. And it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. I don't personally smoke. It's not an issue for me, but I can certainly see how it would be beneficial for friends. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Lucy lozenges and gums are also FSA and HSA eligible, so you can spend pre-tax dollars on them. Locked On NBA Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get 20% off on all products on your first order, including the gum or the lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer, warning this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONNBA.
No, yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they package all three of them to move up or to trade into later year draft. I don't think we keep the 32nd pick. We might try to trade up with it, but yeah. So it was kind of... That's just I'd like to see them keep it because it is such a loaded draft, but I wouldn't be surprised if we use all three picks to move up in the draft or any of that. I don't see them keeping pick 32 though. Yeah.
So that in that case, if they move on from pick 32 and then 58 is essentially, you know, like I said earlier, just used on like a draft and stash, like draft rights sort of dude that it won't reasonably see playing time in the US, like probably for, you know, ever, maybe it is, would just be used as like a trade chip at some point, then maybe I can see a world where they use both in the first. I just think it's going to be maximum two players they come out of the draft with. I would actually love it if they were able to do, say, like 19 and 32 for, I don't know, pick 15, pick 14, something like that, depending on how everything shakes down with the lottery. And, you know, I did mention like Golden State might be a candidate there where, they're depending on how things work out with the Minnesota pick. If Minnesota manages to hop into the top, what is it, top three protected for them? If they manage to hop into the top three and keep the pick, then, you know, maybe Golden State says, oh, we want a couple stabs at this to try to, like, just find some shooters, you know, and, like, some bigs and whatever to help kind of lessen the load on Steph Curry and Draymond Green and all that. You know, maybe they try to do something like that and trade back with the Knicks, and then the Knicks can still hold on to like pick 21 and manage to move up just using pick 32. That would be awesome. Or they might just do the same thing they did last year, just kind of kick the can down the road and do something else with it. My only thing with the using the two firsts is that I think it just sort of discounts free agency and trades a little bit, because I do think they're going to try to be somewhat aggressive in free agency this year. I don't know if they're actually going to sign anybody, but I would be surprised if they didn't go after someone like Kyle Lowry, for example, or maybe even like Mike Conley, something like that, you know, and then some other role players, kind of like how they did last year. I mean, if you think about, they did actually quickly in top and managed to carve out a pretty good role for themselves this year, but they're still going to be around next year. So that, you know, that's playing time that's not going to like magically become available. RJ's still there, obviously, as far as the young players go. And then you have, I don't think Knox or Frank are probably going to still be around. Mitch is still considered kind of a young player, but I think he's pretty well established. I just don't know how much tolerance Tibbs would have for having that many, like, super young players playing for him. And, like, you look at how things shook down this year, and it was mostly veterans that got big minutes down the stretch. It was like the guys he knew he could trust, like Taj and Noel and Burks, Bullock. You know, those were the guys that he trusted to kind of close games and whatever. So I don't know how much Tibbs would be like, give me lots of rookies, because I don't think he's totally in love with playing them. And I feel like we saw with Obi this year, even at times it felt almost like it was like a front office directive. Like, you better play Obi like at least 4 or 5 minutes every game. I don't care if he like can't even stay on the floor, but I don't think he has very much tolerance for that sort of thing. So I guess we'll see. I think it would be a good use of assets though in this draft to take two guys with the 19 and 21 pick, if you're not going to package them and move up for someone you feel stronger about. So I'm with you in principle. I just don't know if the Knicks would be, is my big thing.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I agree that.
No, it's cool. I was done. You read it perfectly.
I don't think they'll end up using them, but I'd really like to. I think the most likely option, as you said, was packaging them, moving up for someone else. You know, maybe they end up taking someone like Sharif Cooper. I've seen James Bouknight, like end of lottery, being projected as an end of lottery type pick. I think maybe they'll move up for like a guard, or if somehow someone like Usman, I think Usman Garuba, if he's around by our pick, which he almost certainly won't be, I think they'll definitely look to trade 21, and then our second rounder is for maybe a first.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that would be the worst strategy either. You know, I wouldn't hate it because 22, 23, I mean, so one thing is you never know how things are going to break in the league. You know, there was a point this year where it seemed almost like the Mavericks were going to be a lottery team for a minute. You know, and perhaps they were one, you know, Luka Doncic, like, high ankle sprain or something away from that happening. And that might have been the case. And the Knicks might have gotten a lottery pick of what everybody figured was going to be like a pick in the 20s, which obviously it did end up being. But, you know, I'm not against that strategy of potentially kicking, you know, kicking the picks down a couple years and, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, Team X, like, you really like, you know, this pick in this draft. Maybe the Knicks then say, okay, well, we'll trade you for your 23 pick. And then the Knicks have three 23 first round picks that maybe gives them the ammunition to move up in that year, which would be really sweet. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of options. The best thing about this coming draft is that I almost can't think of a way that I would be unhappy at this point. Cause what's nice about not being in that like lottery range anymore is that this is the point where you really, I mean, us at home on our couches, you know, sitting watching our YouTube videos and whatever and doing our own scouting. Yes, we can come to our own conclusions, but, you know, we're essentially leaving it to the pros at this point where it's like, all right, you know, champions are made in the, you know, 15 to 30 range in the first round. And, you know, you got to have a really good scouting staff that knows what they're doing. And they already hit on Quickly this year. Granted, maybe that was more from World Wide West posturing than anything. For the Kentucky guy, but it worked no matter what. And there must have been some scouting from Perrin and those sort of guys to say that Quickly was who he eventually ended up being. So at this point, I think you just kind of, you trust your scouts. And as fans, we can kind of just sit back and be like, whatever they do, if they trade up, I feel good that they feel like they've got their guy. That's been a Perrin move, you know, dating back to Donovan Mitchell. And I think they also did that for Rudy Gobert in Utah. So obviously that's something that he's influenced in the past. If they stand pat and they take two guys, you figure, okay, I think they've got two guys that they really like. If they kick the can down the road, then you say, all right, well, you know, I think that they just didn't have anyone that they were sold on at that point. And, you know, I would feel comfortable with that. I just feel like there's no, it's pretty much a win-win for me this year in the draft. I don't think they could do a single thing that would make me unhappy at this point, which is kind of a nice feeling. There's not going to be any immediate groans like I admittedly did over the Obi pick last year, which it was sort of wrong about, but in a weird way for all the wrong reasons, where he was actually quite a bit better on defense and all that stuff than we thought and wasn't actually the offensive dynamo we thought. But anyway, very long-winded way of saying, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I wouldn't mind seeing them use both picks, but if they don't, I'm not going to fault them for it, basically.
Yeah, with this front office, I definitely trust whatever they're going to do because so far all the moves have paid off, like that Alec Burks signing, trading for D-Rose, all the draft picks. In the last year, we've had so many positive moves where I'm thinking, like, whatever they do, hopefully it hits and I trust them. I would definitely like to see them maybe trade up or use those two picks because it is such a deep draft. And as I'm not sure if you guys mentioned this, but if the Golden State pick falls a little in the lottery, maybe you package someone like Alec Burks or maybe a bigger piece of the team, someone else, Alec Burks, Reggie Bullock's both firsts. And you see, maybe we somehow trade up back into the lottery. I'm not sure, but that's definitely a possibility. I don't know how likely, but whatever they do, this is just a way of saying that I'm happy with what the team's doing. Even though we got eliminated in the first round this year, we're on an upward trajectory, and this is the best feeling I've had as a Knicks fan. And
Nico, I was going to ask very quickly, but before you go, I know you're very into the draft in general. Is there one prospect in particular, like either late lottery or where the Knicks picks currently are, that you're really into, like particularly for the Knicks?
A lot of people are really high on him, but Sharif Cooper, is definitely a dude with big time upside and can give like just a lot of things that the Knicks need. And another guy most people are fairly high on is I'd really like to see the Knicks take maybe Uzlan Garuba. We like our bigs, right? And Nerlens Noel offered just so much negative value on the offensive side of the floor, and I think that Garuba has much more upside two-way and playing next to a guy like Mitchell Robinson. And that experience from Noel and Taj Gibson, I think this would be the perfect.
Yeah, you know what, Nico? Great final point. And to me, again, I don't believe this is what the Knicks will do, but I just think unless you're somehow trading up into the top 10 and getting someone that you're really convinced can be a star, I'm taking the two picks because we saw how it worked out last year, right? The draft is such a, like, you're throwing darts. It's a guessing game, even for the best evaluators, for the best franchises every single year. And with the Knicks, like, they maybe, I mean, obviously it's looking better and better, but to some extent, they guessed wrong on Obi, and they guessed completely right on IQ, and they had the advantage of great intel there. But why not have those two shots in a draft where there are all these interesting, like, you could get a guy like Cooper who could really legitimately be your star point guard of the future at 21 or at 19. You could get Garuba, who could be this incredible switchable center, and all of a sudden, if he develops a jumper, you're looking at like a star role player. There are all these fascinating options that could pop to either like star extent if you want to talk about Zaire Williams or BJ Boston, or it could pop to just being a great role player on the teams the Knicks are going to have going forward. I just think it's such a stretch to me. Like, and I know the extent that like, or the argument, quote unquote, that they, for whatever reason, aren't willing to, I don't, obviously they don't want to fall back next year. That makes sense to me. But I don't get the case for, like, if the worst case scenario is that you're redshirting a guy, not playing him a ton of minutes, but then he's going to be really good for you down the road, like, keep investing in your future. The whole point of having the big market, of founding, or rather finding gold in guys like Julius Randle and IQ, is that you can leverage your advantage, and you can stretch this out over a longer period of time and keep leveraging your advantage. I mean, you could argue the Thunder did it unsuccessfully, but that's what we're seeing that process with them right now, and eventually I think it's going to pay off in perennial contention for them. And I think the Knicks have a chance to essentially do the same thing here. But if they're going to do it, it's going to be because they keep maximizing their chances. And look, if you're in love with a Franz Wagner or someone, I get it. Like, maybe he's just the perfect role player. But if you can walk away with a Garuba and a Cooper, or a Cooper and Zaire Williams, I just don't see the argument against it. I think you have to go that direction. So Nico, thank you for that last point, because it kind of inspired that in me. Because as I just look up and down the board, I see so many guys who just have like appealing assets as prospects. I felt the same way about last year's draft, where you could have gotten someone like Bane and IQ in the 20s, or Bane and Tillman at 30 and 33. And I just think there are a lot of different avenues for the Knicks to get better. And I think if you're looking for upside and floor, the best move is to take two guys in the 20s rather than one guy at 10 to 14. But again, long-winded argument, sort of a reiteration of what you guys have already said. So I'll call it there. But Nico, really appreciate you joining us. Anything you want to promote? I know you've talked to me about like doing like some writing and stuff in the past, but I believe your Twitter account is at Breen Bang Bang. Is that right? All right, Nico,
Okay. I'm also gonna release. I'm gonna like release a big board of sorts where I'm gonna watch. I'm not going to. I started doing it already, and I'm gonna release the notes that I've taken, which are fairly crude. I am not a professional scout by all means, but I want to do something with like a Knicks focus. And also, you said something about the Thunder, where they have all these. I like what the Thunder done, because you can never have too many picks, but also they have too many picks, in my opinion. They're going to give away picks with a lot of value, and they're gonna get fleeced in some sort of trade. Obviously, they won't mind because like they'll have other picks, but now that they have so many, their selections in the first round are a bit undervalued. And I don't know. I can definitely see in the future, in a couple years, once they've already hit on a couple guys, some team somehow fleecing two or three first rounders out of a guy who definitely does not deserve to be traded for two or three first rounders, because they just need to get rid of these picks somehow. They need to find a way to move them, or else they'll go over the salary cap, they'll have too many players. And it's a problem that I'd like to have, but one that also I think other people are not really anticipating. Is
all right, Nico, again, man, really appreciate it. I think a great point to end on, and we will see what the Knicks do. We have a long off season to keep talking about it, but all right, I'm gonna send you down, and Alex, you want to call it on that?
Yeah, I'm down. So thanks everybody for popping in as always, and we had a good time doing this late night version of the locker room here. So hope you all enjoyed, and we'll be back next week, probably at our normal time, 5:30 on Thursday, if you want to come by again. But until next time, thanks for popping in. This has been Locked On Knicks, and listen up. If you want to listen to this all over again, we'll be back at it, or we'll have a podcast out, I should say, tomorrow and the next day with all these discussions in it. So peace out. Talk to you guys later. Thanks for stopping in.